it dawned the morning. There were thunders and lightning. A big cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words. The sound of the lamps heard blasting. You shall be a king of a priest. You shall be a holy nation. You shall be above.
Shalom Aleichem. Todd and Tamara here with part 9 of The Stars, The Final Frontier, The Stars DNA, The Final Frontier.
Of Deception.
Final Frontier of Deception.
And right now we're working on Pleiadian propaganda.
That's right.
What we're trying to do is show you, help, we're all trying to sort through all the lies that they've been building around people for how many generations. And what they're about to unfold and expose to us is their archaeological lies so that they can support all of their astrological lies. All of their archaeology and astronomy, astrology will match up.
They have to try to give us descriptions and different ideas and different signs and seasons and times to describe what Father is going to bring from the heavens, and that appears in our heavens at the times when he moves to do
his judgments
here on earth. They have to have some sort of explanation for anything that comes in those heavens to trick the people. So, I mean, you can imagine back in the time when Yeshua was born, why weren't there just millions and millions of people understanding the star that was in the sky that these three wise men, these three magi, that are very possibly, if you read it in scripture with 1500 verses of about the stars, sun, moon, and earth, that those three wise men, they were probably chosen to be representative of the three stars of the belt of Orion. Now, why would we say that? It's because the Belt of Orion on all these ancient monolithic pyramids and mounded pyramids around the earth, they have the Pleiades.
And on Mars.
That's right. They have Orion pointing to the Pleiades. They also use Perseus. The Germans did in the Germanic cultures with their tablet writings and things to keep track of this. To point at the Pleiades. Why they point the Pleiades? Because there's a star that appeared many times in that spot in heaven, and they call it Ra, and they call it all kinds of names that they are looking for that. And these signs that are coming, we have to understand that the heavens above us are to be read by the Torah, the Torah that the laws of His universe, the physics of His universe, of the times, the signs, and the seasons. And if we are not worshiping Yah, if we are not gathering on His Shabbats, on His Moeds, His feast days, His Passover, His unleavened bread, His wave sheaf offering, His Pentecost, His feast of trumpets, which is a day when the scriptures tells us that He will return. And then we have the Day of Atonement. And then we have the Feast of Tabernacles, when He will tabernacle with those who had wisdom and understanding in the heart to keep their mind, their body pure, their DNA intact, so that they will not be destroyed in this upcoming deception, this deception, this delusion that we are in today by the sorcerers and soothsayers of Baal today.
And we also understand that during this time, Father has been really revealing to us the truth about energies, frequency, and light. Well, just so that we're very clear, the Pleiadians and these other alien demonic entities that are channeling through people are also, they love to speak of energies, frequency, and light. It's one of their favorite subjects, and they'd love to talk about portals being opened and gateways being opened, and how, you know, this, you can claim this domain and it can be yours and no other ones can come in. Go ahead.
And scripture teaches us how to keep control of those gateways, keep control of those portals by not practicing their sorcery and their divination, their pharmakia, their illusions that they perform over us.
When we were involved in the New Age, we had all kinds of these things creeping and crawling around us and freaking us out, and as soon
Fear
because we made a determination of whose house we serve, and we learned how to serve that house by getting rid of all of their magic and their dream weavers and anything
their
that
Zodiac.
Comes. That's right. As soon as we learned to get rid of all of those things, those doorways closed.
And
we no longer are haunted unless right. we open the gateway.
Our face is towards the heavens to gain, because it says a face that is pointed, the scripture we just read to you last show, that in Psalms, that our face that's pointed towards the heavens, it is a man that has understanding and wisdom. He founded the heavens by understanding and the foundations of the earth by wisdom. Now let me read here in Psalm 84:11. It says, "For Yahuwah Elohim is a sun and a shield." A sun, not our sun, and a shield. He's a star. Yahuwah gives favor and esteem. He withholds no good matter from those who walk blamelessly. Now, the reason why we say a sun is because all these ancient monoliths and their religion says that there is a star that's returning. And
here, it says, historians were mistaken. The ancients revered a sun, but it was not our sun at all. It's another sun-like star system. And this is on the website hiddenrecords.com. And what we're going to do, you know, in the report, if you want the report, please contact us at petranch@dishmail.net or tamara@hebrewnation.net and ask for the report. We've got pages of people already subscribing to the report. And what you can do, we're going to have websites that you can go to so that you can search these star charts and these star maps for yourselves. But please keep in mind, Mishpacha, that this is not an avenue for you to listen to the theories that these gentlemen are coming up with. You must stick close to your creator and your scriptures, because they will tell you the truth.
We will attach.
But there is something to discern here in the fact that 35 cultures had the exact same star charts, all pointing to the Pleiades star system. And Father is revealing that to us because he wants us to understand the deception that's coming.
Scripture talks about the seven sisters. They are the seven spirits.
Pleiades is actually named outright in Scripture.
That's right. Over seven
Job.
Spirits, over his assemblies, not churches. Churches are another pagan name for the satanic worship system. Now you have in Psalms 144:5, Scripture, he's saying here, "Incline your heavens." He's talking to Yahuwah. "O Yahuwah, and come down. Touch the mountains that they smoke." What is not happening on this planet? All the volcanoes on the planet are beginning
the
to crack open and smoke.
That's it's right, because they're starting to smoke.
It's because of the energetic connection, the plasma field, electrical field connections between all the bodies of our solar system and our universe.
So this finger of Yah is coming in.
That's
this
right.
This planet
to light
X,
this planet
its
up.
Solar system, it is coming into our solar system and our planet, and the other planets are being lit up. That's why it's so important. We reclaim our destiny in the stars, our galactic world up there, so that we understand that this is an electrical universe and everything is connected, and our actual core of our planet is being ignited. It's being
right.
fired up, and that's why the Earth is coming alive. It's because of the magnetic pull of the giant planet that's coming towards us in outer space right now.
That's
that
right.
People who, anybody who speaks about it, who knows anything about it, who's researching it, who's seen it, they're dying.
Yeah, they kind of die. They commit suicide. They have accidents.
Sudden
they're
accidents.
Murdered.
All their paperwork goes up in flames.
We'll go into that a little bit. Like I think we told you already.
We will.
But, yeah, okay.
We'll go into
anyway,
it.
In Ecclesiastes 1:13, okay, why should we be even looking at any of these things? Because it says right here in Ecclesiastes 1:13, "And I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that has been done under the heavens. This evil task Elohim has given to the sons of man, to be humbled by it." Each and everything that he reveals to us, since we've been coming out of this delusion of our masters and these Baal worshippers, these Molech worshippers that rule over us, these kings and queens of the earth, they call them presidents and dictators and bankers. Everything that they've done is now being revealed. We know that our whole entire economic system is usury. We know it's all geared towards an ever non-ending teaching of war. And that's what the fallen angels taught us to do. And war is used by the fallen angels to control men, to keep us in fear and keep us going in the direction they want us
to. They hunger for blood.
That's right.
The life is in the blood. They hunger for this congealed light that is our blood.
That's right.
And make no mistake, even the Palladians, these entities, they're always continuing chiding and castigating authentic Christians or anybody who is working underneath Torah or any of that. They have to get rid of that. It's the only power. That blood is the only power that can be against them. And they have to rid the world of it in order for them to manifest it anyway. And they use tricky ways, all kinds of different teachings to move us away from any foundational truth of Scripture.
And
tear it apart.
The reason being that they want that blood to spill and hit the earth is because it opens up the gates of hell, the literal gates of hell. The star that has fallen to earth in Revelation 9 was given a key to the bottomless pit. And we read to you from, it was in Isaiah or Ezekiel a couple weeks ago, that the sovereigns of the earth have been given their power by these fallen ones that roam the earth. What to do? In order to do what? Through like the Olympic ceremony when we're going through that, is to raise up the dead from the pits of hell onto the earth.
That's right. And
open portals, and gateways.
Here's the really funny part is that while they're channeling these entities will actually tell you that there's good ones of them and there's bad ones of them, and that the bad ones are ugly reptilian and bird-like creatures that represent the lesser evil gods. They are not the supreme god at all, and they still give birth to their own creations. Right there, we have the seed of the reptile. We have the seed of the serpent. It is even in their own channelings and what they're saying to people. Again, little bits of truth intermixed with lots of lie.
And all these megalithic structures around the earth, that most of them, almost all of them, have gods with bird-like reptilian heads on top of them. Now, how did that occur if we believe what we were taught by our forefathers, that through evolution that we kind of eventually scattered throughout the earth and we had never been to other parts of the earth before?
I really truly believe that evolution was created in order to program our minds away from all of the stories found through the ancient civilizations, because when you take a look without a programmed mind, when you begin to take that programming under control and you look at ancient cultures, they all have the same story of those who from heaven came down to earth.
That's it.
They all have the same stories of how they got started. And so evolution was created to draw us away from those stories and make us believe that those stories were a bunch of hogwash. How have you been introduced to giants in your life? Probably through Disney, Walt Disney movies, or the Brothers Grimm. Those are the only way that we have any giant stories that have come down through us. You know, Jack and the Beanstalk, or Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, I Smell the Blood of an English
Bomb. Or superheroes that they've conjured out of nowhere. It's through genetic conjuring, you know, with the genetics like X-Men and the Transformers, robotic type personalities.
My point about the giants was that we don't even believe that giants are real, because the only way we've ever gotten any exposure to them is through fairy tales.
That's right. And they say, of course, they don't teach us through the archaeology. The reason why they gave us evolution is so they can give us a system so that we will work as their good slaves to run about the planet looking for the missing quote-unquote link. And what they're actually finding and uncovering in these mixture of, what do they call them, the ancient man that weren't full humans yet, the Neanderthals, those were the mixtures of humans and animals. Or
it's like a genetic laboratory.
It was a genetic laboratory before the flood, so they could make the perfect slave that would obey and dig their gold for them.
So, of course, these aliens, these demonic aliens, these Pleiadians, whatever you want to call them, they're all the time trying to manipulate us. This is how demons work. It doesn't have to work just through possession, Mishpoka. They're around us right now manipulating our thoughts and our beliefs. That's how it occurs, and that's what we must take captive and understand how long it's been going on.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is, in Tamara will interweave here some more learning from these good books. And what I'm going to go into now is these monolithic structures like the pyramids and the mounds across different cultures and civilizations around the planet. And the first one we're going to start with is the biggest and baddest one that everyone's always talking about and wondering what it's all about. And that's the pyramids of Egypt, and specifically the pyramids of Giza is the beginning point.
Okay.
Those three pyramids align up with the Belt of Orion, and they point to the Pleiades.
And I just to give you an overview before he gets into the specifics, what we're doing is we're showing you about the ancient star maps, all of which use Orion's belt, and some use Perseus, to point the way to the leg of the bull. The leg of the bull is the shape of the Pleiades. The Pleiades looks like the leg of the bull, which the leg of a bull is a very ancient, powerful symbol that is found throughout the cultures. Okay? And so what this is all leading to is the Pleiades, the seven stars of Pleiades. And in many of these tablets and inscriptions and hieroglyphics on caves and stuff, you will see 12 stars. You will see that there are other stars in the Pleiades that we cannot see to this day. And yet, what happens is as this, what these star charts do is they all align up and then triangulate with the star of Ra in the Pleiades constellation. And there's, these are sun-like stars, which are not visible. Sun-like stars are not necessarily visible to the naked eye. And, you know, it all depends on the different magnitudes, the different brightnesses of the stars. And the pyramids and obelisks, which, as we know, are definite symbols of giant fallen angel worship, those are two different representations of stars in the sky.
As above, so below, like the Star of David, the six-pointed Star of David, it's actually two triangles. It's a pyramid with another inverted pyramid that's overlaid in itself. So when you pull them apart, where you have a pyramid on Earth, they say as above, so below, you've got a pyramid, and you pull the upper triangle up, and it touches the top of the pyramid, and it makes the triangle that is formed in the Pleiades that shows the position of this Ra star, they called it, that will be returning. And Scripture calls it the Destroyer, that it will be coming back. And it also, it could be the throne of Yah that is coming back.
And it also shows the same hermaphroditic symbol that Da Vinci used in the Human Code, showing male and female alchemical mixing, so that we no longer have to procreate or recreate through the process.
No more man and woman. This gender neutral stuff that is now like a plague that's hit the east and west coast of the United States, it is symbolized in that drawing that Da Vinci did of the man.
And by being permitted, by our Father permitting us to see these things by using the internet and having access to these star charts and the overlays over these ancient civilizations and cultures, we are actually getting to see that a lot of the things that we were taught to mean one thing don't mean that thing at all. Like, for instance, this crescent moon. This crescent may not be our moon at all, but instead a planet or a world that's in partial shadow from its sun-like star. And this is where they're saying they come from. This is where the Anunnaki claim they came from. Well, Anunnaki means those who from heaven came to Earth. This is not necessarily, we have to be aware that this is not necessarily an interstellar culture, but instead an interdimensional culture that is lying to us and using our physics to do so.
That's what the CERN reactor is about. And also, the CERN reactor, in order to smash atoms together, it's the same thing that happens, but it's in a controlled situation versus a nuclear explosion or atomic bomb. The reason why they release those is in their beliefs, they are open portals and gateways for these Nephilonic spirits that roam the earth after the flood to come through and inhabit people's bodies and take possession. And not only that, the larger the bang, the larger hole, the opening, the larger the spirit that gets to come through. The Apollyon Rising, as Washington, D.C. was set up to conjure up.
And so we're going to, what the website hiddenrecords.com goes through is this man has, he's continuing to look at different cultures and align this Pleiades star map over them, showing that these cultures are telling you that their origins, the origins of humanity, come from this star system, okay? And so we're going to just take a few of them apart, ones that you recognize, like Todd's about to go through Egypt. We also have, like, the Vatican has the symbols all over it. Washington, D.C. has them all over it. We have, Africa, Babylon, the Cherokee, the Pawnee, the Persian, the Holy Grail, Germanic, Egypt, China, Babylon.
The key that St. Peter holds in his hand.
Sumerian, Stonehenge is a huge one. NASA even has an emblem for a future Mars mission with the three stars of the Orion Belt, which on December 3rd of this year, three planets are going to align with those three stars, which we're going to get into more and more of this with detail.
Mercury, Venus, and Saturn. There's a lot of alignments in these next upcoming years with all this destruction that they're sorcerizing.
Next coming months, right? The year 2013, basically.
Yeah, in the next couple of years, too. So in Egypt, we'll start with the three pyramids of Giza. Above it, you have a pyramid that is the star Sirius, and below it, it points down to the star Aldebaran, which is in Taurus or Aleph in the Hebrew Matzarot, and you continues down, and it points to a grouping of seven pyramids that is representative of the Pleiades. So that's the Egyptian pyramids, and not only that, this all goes along the Nile River, and the Nile River is representative of the Milky Way. That's why they set it up that way. And then below Below the Pylades system, you have a whole grouping of pyramids that run all the way down the Nile, which give reference to, I believe this would be Perseus, pointing back to the Pylades once again, and that's all in Egypt. We also know that the Egyptian pyramids were more than likely, it has the Andromeda, it's the Andromeda solar system that they use as well, or the constellation in order to point towards the Pylades as well.
So the pyramids all formed part of an expansive layout plan, with every pyramid emulating a star along the edge of the Milky Way in the night sky.
The Nile River.
Why, you might ask? To place the ultimate star humanity originated from as the X that marks the spot dead center in the middle of the Grand Pyramid star map in the form of their ultimate monument.
And in Tikal, this is the Maya pyramids, you have the, they call it, this guy's right, the ultimate sun temple of the Maya is what he's calling it. Because you have a collection of seven pyramids that point to one major pyramid of the sun, that it would be, again, this Ra star or this star that comes back into our solar system every once in a while.
Right. This star map template is prevalent in virtually every pyramid civilization. And we will have to go into the Sphinx at some point, too, because the Sphinx is the key to unlocking the actual map, the way she sits, the way it sits and watches the sky and watches itself rise in its paws right in Leo and tells you to look, at the stars and where to look and stuff. So we should get into some detail on that. Probably part three we're going to have to do on this.
Yeah. And then at the Temple of Angkor, at the Temple of Angkor, you have the same thing going on there, but they use, they've got the Pylades, and then they use the, let me see, what constellation is this? They use, I can't figure out right now what constellation that is, but at the Temple of Angkor, it also points
Andromeda,
to Pylades.
Andromeda, that looks like Andromeda
that's Andromeda again. And it points at the Pylades temple mounds that they have got there, along with this Ra star, or possibly the throne of Yah, because we know the Pylades, he created them, and we know that they sit over the seven assemblies here on the earth. Now at Stonehenge, you have the same thing. You have Winterbourne Barrows. There's seven mound hills that point to Stonehenge, and Stonehenge, the circular center there, that represents, again, that Da Vinci-drawn man. And it's a pentagramic drawing of the mixing of man and woman, to where you eliminate man and woman, the one and zero, the image of Yah. And also around Stonehenge, it also shows a couple of orbitals that go around this star sun. We're moving on to the Xiaoling tomb. This is in China. And it has the Pylades once again pointing over to a giant mound, the Great Treasure Mound. And in China, there are 10,000 square miles of pyramids that call it sacred territory, and the Chinese government will not let anyone in to do any archaeology on or do any research at. So they actually try to keep that hidden. There must be some really good stuff down there to tell the truth of what's going on.
And what's so crazy is once we are deceived, we can be taught nearly anything without objection. And that's why we have got to grasp what they're about to unleash on us, so that we can object to it and stay under the covering of Yahweh.
That's right. And now we're down in Africa. There's the teachings of the indigenous peoples down there on their different books and their little inscriptions and writings. They've got the same thing. They've got the Belt of Orion pointing to the Pleiades and then pointing to a sun star. And it shows a human form relating that our ancestors came from that place. And then we have, again, okay, I already told you that, like, in Germany, they use the Perseus constellation in order to point, again, to the Pleiades system, which is just on the other side of the bull and to the left of Pleiades when you look at the constellations. And then lastly, we have the Vatican itself. The way the Vatican is set up is the key that St. Peter is holding in his hands. So what you have is the three stars of Orion pointing to this one giant planet X star, which is the five-pointed star, or the Castile Saint Angelo. There's a causeway that goes straight to it, and when you look at it from space, it forms this key that St. Peter holds in his hand. Again and again, the whole. Not only that, but they've also laid out that they have the seven hills of Rome that sit next to, right in the view of the Vatican, especially on December 25th, and September 15th, just like the Washington, D.C. Monument. The seven hills, there are seven hills in Washington also that represent the Pylades and point to this star as well.
So again and again, the Nephilim don't really care how they capture the mind of human beings as long as they capture them. Mm-hmm. Once they imprison the mind, they have the will. And once they have the will, they have control. And that has to be what we always fight for and search for. So when we give you our report and you're looking through these websites, don't get caught up in the theories of these people. Stick with your scriptures and discern it from Yahweh's point of view.
We will attach the 1,500 scriptures come from the Esword, from the Bible, come from the Esword to this report as well, so you can read it for yourself, Mishpokah.
Okay, we're going on to part 3.
You shall not bring the name of the Lord your Elohim to naught. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.